In the shadows of conflict, formidable figures emerge who shape the destiny of Hamas. Let's explore the gripping stories of Hamas' most feared leaders, unraveling the complexities that define their influence on the turbulent stage of global politics, their rise to power, and the high-stakes power struggle that is their life. Mohammed Daif. Mohammed Daif is a feared Hamas leader known for his role in planning and executing attacks against Israel. Daif has become a symbol of resistance and defiance in the face of the occupation. After surviving 7 Israeli assassination attempts, he has earned the nickname, the Cat with 9 Lives, among his adversaries. Mohammed Diab Ibrahim al-Masri, later known as Mohammed Daif, was born in 1965 in the Khan Junis refugee camp in the southern Gaza Strip. Daif grew up in a tumultuous environment and experienced the harsh realities of life as a Palestinian refugee. While not many details are known about his early life and upbringing, it is known that he had a strong desire for education and a thirst for knowledge. Daif's academic journey began when he enrolled at the Islamic University of Gaza, where he majored in chemistry. During his years at university, he discovered his passion for theater and formed a theater group called the Returners. The group's name was a poignant reference to the yearning of Palestinian refugees to return to the lands they once called home before NACBA. While Daif's academic pursuits and passion for theater provided him with a sense of purpose, the political landscape in Gaza was changing rapidly. It was during the First Intifada, a period of intense Palestinian resistance against the Israeli occupation, that Daif's path crossed with Hamas. Weeks after its formation, Daif joined Hamas, an Islamist organization that emerged as a prominent force during the First Intifada. His commitment to the cause of Palestinian liberation led to his arrest by the Israeli authorities in 1989 or 1990. The Israeli government considered never to be a threat and attempted to suppress his activities. Daif's time in detention only fueled his determination to fight for the Palestinian cause. After 16 months, he was released in a prisoner exchange, allowing him to continue his collaboration with Hamas. It was during this period that Daif played a pivotal role in the creation of the Izzaddin al-Assam Brigades, Hamas's armed wing. Daif's close relationship with Emekel and Yahya Ajash, two prominent Hamas figures assassinated by Israel in 1993 and 1996 respectively, further cemented his commitment to the organization. These losses served as a stark reminder of the dangers that awaited those who dared to defy the Israeli occupation. Aware of the need to protect himself and avoid becoming a target, Daif made a conscious decision to lower his profile and remain low profile. This strategic move allowed him to continue working behind the scenes, orchestrating acts of resistance and planning attacks on Israeli targets. Throughout the early 1990s and early 2000s, Daif played a significant role in carrying out suicide bombings targeting Israeli civilians and military personnel. The goal of these attacks was to destabilize Israel and draw attention to the plight of the Palestinian people. In addition to his involvement in suicide bombings, Daif oversaw the kidnappings and subsequent murders of Israeli soldiers Shahar Samani, Ariel Frankenhall, and Naxon Wexman in the 1990s. These high-profile incidents further cemented his reputation as a formidable and ruthless leader within the Nahda. Daif's dedication and strategic acumen did not go unnoticed within the Nahda ranks. Following the assassination of Salah Shejaid in July 2002, Daif assumed the position of Supreme Military Commander of the Izzaddin al-Assam Brigades. This promotion marked a turning point in his career, as he now had the authority to determine the future of Hamas military operations. However, Daif's rise to power was not without its difficulties. In July 2006, Haridu was seriously injured in an Israeli attack, forcing Shider to temporarily hand over command to his deputy Ahed Jabari. Despite his struggles, Daif's resilience and determination remained unwavering. Throughout his early militant career, Daif demonstrated a keen understanding of the power of storytelling and the importance of narrative in shaping public opinion. He used theater as a medium to inspire and mobilize the Palestinian people, and his involvement in acts of resistance against the Israeli occupation further cemented his status as a revered figure within the Palestinian community. Following the assassination of Salah Shahad in July 2002, Mohammed Deif assumed the position of Supreme Military Commander of the Izzaddin al-Assam Brigades. This marked a major turning point in the history of Hamas, as Deif's leadership would determine the future of the organization's military operations. Under Deif's command, the al-Qassam Brigades underwent a remarkable transformation. What had once been a group of amateur cells became organized military units described as an army capable of invading Israel. Deif's strategic vision and meticulous planning played a pivotal role in this transformation. One of Deif's most notable contributions to the al-Qassam Brigades was the development of the above and below strategy. This military strategy included two key components: attacking Israeli territory with rockets from above and building underground tunnels to infiltrate the border with Israel from Abyei. Deif's leadership style has been described as secretive and elusive. He rarely speaks in public and avoids using modern digital technology, making it difficult for Israeli intelligence agencies to track his movements and communications. This secrecy has allowed him to maintain a level of operational security that has eluded many of his adversaries. The success of the al-Qassam Brigades under Deif's leadership has not gone unnoticed. In September 2015, the U.S. State Department placed Deif and three other OZ leaders on the U.S. list of specially designated global terrorists. This designation further cemented Deif's reputation as a formidable and feared leader within the international community. His escapades are not without their challenges. The seven assassination attempts he has survived have taken their toll on his physical well-being. He has lost an eye and several limbs, leaving him permanently disfigured and confined to a wheelchair. Despite these challenges, Deif continues to lead the al-Qassam Brigades and remains a formidable figure within Hamas. To cope with the physical and emotional trauma he has endured, Deif takes tranquilizers daily to treat his persistent headaches. The effects of the attacks on his body and mind are a constant reminder of the dangers he faces as the leader of Hamas. Mohammed Deif's survival of these numerous assassination attempts has only increased his legendary status among his followers. His ability to evade capture and continue leading the Qassam Brigades has cemented his reputation as a symbol of resistance and defiance against Israel. Salah al-Aruri. Salah al-Aruri's involvement with Hamas began during his time at Hebron University, where he studied Sharia law. It was during this time that he became deeply involved with the organization and established strong bonds with its youth wing on campus, known as Kutla Islamila. Hamas' dedication and commitment to its cause quickly propelled him into a leadership role within the organization. However, his active involvement in Hamas did not go unnoticed by the Israeli authorities. In November 1990, al-Aruri was arrested for his involvement with the organization. This marked the beginning of a tumultuous period in his life, as he would spend the next 15 years behind bars for his leadership role within Hamas. In 2007, after completing his 15-year sentence, al-Aruri was released from prison. However, instead of allowing him to return to his normal life, he was deported by Israel. This forced exile marked a turning point in al-Aruri's life and laid the foundation for his continued involvement with Hamas on an international level. Following his release, al-Aruri moved to Damascus, Syria, where he joined the Hamas Political Bureau. This move allowed him to continue to play his leadership role within the organization and contribute to its strategic decision-making processes. However, the outbreak of the Syrian civil war and the subsequent departure from Damascus of Khaled Mashal, head of Hamas Political Bureau, presented al-Aruri with new challenges. In response to the changing dynamics of the region, al-Aruri decided to relocate once again. This time he settled in Istanbul, Turkey, where he established his office. From Istanbul, al-Aruri operated independently from the rest of the organization, which led to leadership challenges within al-Aruri. His pragmatic leadership style and ability to adapt to changing circumstances set him apart from other Hassan leaders, making him a formidable force within the organization. Despite his physical distance from the core of Hassan, Olaruri remained actively involved in the organization's activities. He played a crucial role in rejuvenating Hassan's terrorist networks in the Jordanian CIS, sending operatives to carry out attacks and kidnapping Israelis. His strategic planning and operational expertise made him a feared figure among Israeli security forces. Saleh Alaruri's involvement in financial activities on behalf of Hassan has been a crucial aspect of his role within the organization. Has played a significant role in securing funds for AS-related activities and ensuring the financial stability of the organization. These funds have been used to support a variety of initiatives, including the purchase of weapons for terrorist attacks. Alaruri's financial activities have been a matter of concern to international authorities, as they have been linked to the planning and execution of attacks against Israeli targets. His role in planning attacks and fomenting unrest has made him a feared figure within Israeli security forces and has contributed to the ongoing conflict between Hamas and Israel. One of the key aspects of Alaruri's involvement in financial activities is his ability to secure funds for operations related to AAS. He has established networks and connections that allow him to receive financial support from a variety of sources sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. These funds are then channeled into the procurement of weapons, training of operatives, and the execution of attacks. Alaruri's financial activities have also included money transfers and transactions on behalf of AAS. He has been responsible for coordinating the movement of funds to support the organization's operations and activities. These transactions have often been conducted through complex networks and channels, making it difficult for authorities to track the flow of funds. In 2015, Alaruri's involvement in financial activities on behalf of NUMCA came to the attention of the United States Treasury, which sanctioned him for his role in the money transfers and his involvement in the planning of Attentat 2. This action by the United States Treasury dealt a significant blow to both ALAR and NUMCA, as it restricted their access to international financial systems and limited their ability to conduct financial transactions. Despite the sanctions, Alaruri has continued to find ways to financially support JAMAS. He has adapted his methods and utilized alternative channels to ensure the financial stability of the organization. His ingenuity and determination have allowed JAMAS to continue its operations and maintain its military capability. Alaruri's role in planning attacks and fomenting unrest has been a cause for concern for Israeli security forces. He has played a key role in organizing and coordinating attacks against Israeli targets, including bombings, shootings, and kidnappings. His strategic planning and operational expertise have made him a key figure in Hamas military operations. One of the notable attacks linked to Alaruri is the 2014 kidnapping and killing of three Israeli teenagers in the Jordanian CIS. This incident sparked a wave of violence and increased tensions between Israel and Hamas. Alaruri's involvement in planning and executing this attack demonstrated his commitment to Hamas goals and his willingness to use violence to achieve them. In addition to planning attacks, Alaruri has played a role in inciting protests and demonstrations against the Israeli occupation, using his influence and position within Hamas to mobilize support and rally Palestinians around the cause. His ability to galvanize support and inspire action has established him as an important figure within the Palestinian resistance movement. Saleh Alaruri's involvement in financial activities on behalf of Hamas and his role in planning attacks and fomenting unrest have made him a feared and influential figure within the organization. His ability to raise funds, plan attacks, and mobilize support has contributed to Hamas's resilience and ongoing fight against the Israeli occupation. Ismail Haniyeh is a prominent Palestinian politician known for his senior position in Hamas. Born in 1962 in the Al-Shati refugee camp in Gaza, Haniyeh studied at the Islamic University in Gaza, where he first became associated with Hamas. He graduated with a degree in Arabic literature in 1987 and rose rapidly within the organization. In 2006, Haniji led the Hamas list to victory in the Palestinian legislative elections, becoming Prime Minister of the State of Palestine. However, during the conflict between Hamas and Al-Hamas in 2007, President Mahmoud Abbas dismissed Haniji. Despite the dismissal, Hani continued to serve as Prime Minister in the Gaza Strip, refusing to recognize the decree. From 2006 until February 2017, Hani was the leader of Hamas in the Gaza Strip, after which he was replaced by Yahya Sinwar. On 6 May 2017, Hani was elected chairman of Hamas's political bureau, succeeding Jalal Mackel. Hani then relocated from Gaza to Qatar, where he currently resides. Hani's leadership within Hamas was characterized by his unwavering dedication to the Palestinian cause and his determination to resist the Israeli occupation. He became known for his strong anti-Israel views and calls for the liberation of Jerusalem, which resonated with many Palestinians. Under Hani's leadership, Hamas faced numerous challenges in the Gaza Strip, including the war between Israel and Hamas and the conflict with Al-Fatah. Despite these obstacles, Han remained steadfast in his commitment to the organization and its goals. Han Yi's rise to become the head of Hamas in the Gaza Strip demonstrated his leadership capabilities and ability to navigate complex political landscapes. His involvement with Hamas and his subsequent rise within the organization have cemented his position as a feared leader in the eyes of many. Ismail Hani's political career has been marked by his involvement in various political disputes and conflicts that have shaped the landscape of the Middle East. One of the most significant conflicts he faced was the dispute between Al-Hamas, which caused a deep divide between the two main Palestinian political parties. The conflict between Al-Hamas created a rift between Al-Hamas-controlled Cisjordan and the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip. This infighting posed significant challenges to Han Yi and his leadership within Hamas. Despite the tensions, Han Yi remained committed to the Palestinian cause and worked towards finding a solution to the conflict. In addition to internal disputes, Hani also clashed with Israel in the Israel-Hamas war. This series of conflicts saw intense fighting between Hamas and Israel, resulting in significant loss of life and destruction. Hani's strong views against Israel and his calls for the liberation of Jerusalem made him a formidable opponent against many. Throughout these conflicts, Hani demonstrated his resilience and determination to fight for the rights of the Palestinian people. Despite the challenges he faced, he remained steadfast in his commitment to the cause and worked to find a peaceful solution to the conflicts. Hani firmly believes in Palestinian rights, self-determination, and the creation of an independent Palestinian state. He has consistently called for the liberation of Jerusalem, considering it a crucial part of Palestinian identity and a symbol of their struggle against the Israeli occupation. Despite criticism and opposition, Hani remains steadfast in his stance against Israel and continues to fight for the rights of the Palestinian people. His strong views and calls for the liberation of Jerusalem have cemented his position as a key figure in the Palestinian political landscape. Ismail Han has faced considerable scrutiny and controversy during his leadership, primarily due to the fact that Hamas is designated as a terrorist organization by Western nations such as the United States and the European Union. This designation has posed significant challenges to both Hamas and the Gaza Strip, including a blockade imposed by Israel and Egypt. As a result, the region has suffered economic hardship, humanitarian crises, and limited access to basic needs. Additionally, Hamas and Hamas have been involved in multiple conflicts with Israel, resulting in military clashes, loss of life, and extensive destruction in the Gaza Strip. These conflicts have garnered international condemnation while also garnering support in the region. Hamas himself has been detained on numerous occasions by Israeli authorities due to his involvement in the Palestinian uprising against Israel. However, in recent times, Hamas has been involved in mediation and reconciliation initiatives between Hamas and Fatah, as well as other Palestinian factions. These efforts aim to address the political divide that has hindered Palestinian aspirations for statehood. A significant development in this regard was the signing of a reconciliation agreement between Hamas and al-Fawfat in 2021. This agreement has opened the door to new Palestinian elections crucial to establishing unified governance in the Gaza Strip and Cis. Born in 1965 in the Burayk refugee camp in the Gaza Strip, Marwan Issa's early life was marked by a profound sense of purpose and a strong desire to fight for the rights of his people. Born in 1965 in the Burayk refugee camp in the Gaza Strip, Issa grew up dreaming of one day returning to his family's displaced village. It was in this environment that he developed a strong sense of identity and a determination to make a difference. As a young man, Issa became involved with the Muslim Brotherhood, a prominent Islamic organization that played a significant role in shaping his worldview. The sorority's emphasis on social justice and resistance against oppression resonated deeply with Issa, fueling her passion for the Palestinian cause. In addition to her political involvement, Issa excelled as a basketball player, demonstrating her athletic prowess on the court. Her dedication and skill earned her recognition within the community, but it was her commitment to the resistance movement that would ultimately define her trajectory. In 1987, at the age of 22, Issa's life took a dramatic turn. She decided to join Hamas, a Palestinian political and military organization that emerged during the First Intifada, a period of intense Palestinian uprising against Israeli occupation. Issa's membership in Hamas marked a turning point in her life, as she became fully committed to the Palestinian liberation struggle. However, her involvement with Hamas did not go unnoticed by Israeli forces. That same year, Issa was arrested by Israeli authorities who considered Hamas a terrorist organization. The arrest was a major setback for Issa, but it only served to strengthen his resolve and deepen his commitment to the cause. Issa spent the next 5 years in prison, enduring the hardships and challenges that incarceration entailed. It was during this time that he honed his beliefs and solidified his commitment to the resistance movement. Upon his release from prison, Issa was quick to rejoin the struggle. He enlisted in the Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of Hamas, where his skill and dedication quickly earned him promotions. His experiences in prison only served to strengthen his resolve, and he was determined to make a significant impact in the fight against the Israeli occupation. Issa's rise through the ranks of the Al-Qassam Brigades was a testament to his leadership skills and strategic thinking. He demonstrated a keen understanding of the complexities of the conflict and the need for a multifaceted approach to resistance. As Deputy Commander-in-Chief, he has played a crucial role in building the strength and organization of the Issa military wing, making him a feared figure within the Israeli defense establishment. Under Issa's leadership, the CASAM brigades have seen significant advancements in their military capabilities. He has been instrumental in implementing strategic plans and innovative tactics that have increased the effectiveness of the resistance movement. One area in which Issa has had a significant impact is in settlement operations. These operations involve attacking Israeli settlements and military installations in the occupied territories. Issa has been responsible for planning and executing these operations that have instilled fear in both settlers and Israeli soldiers. The settlement operations carried out by the CASAM brigades under Issa's direction have been meticulously planned and executed with precision. These operations have not only inflicted damage on Israeli settlements and military infrastructure, but have also served as a powerful tool of psychological warfare. By striking at the heart of the Israeli occupation, Issa and the CAM brigades have demonstrated their ability to disrupt the daily lives of Israeli settlers and create a sense of insecurity. The Issa's role in settlement operations goes beyond military strategy. It understands the importance of these operations in asserting Palestinian sovereignty and reclaiming their lands. By targeting settlements deemed illegal under international law, Issa and the CASAM brigades challenge the legitimacy of the Israeli occupation and uphold the rights of the Palestinian people. It is important to note that settlement operations are not without controversy. While many Palestinians see them as a legitimate form of resistance against the occupation, they have also drawn criticism from some quarters. Critics argue that these operations risk causing civilian casualties and further exacerbating tensions in the region. However, for ISA and the CASAM brigades, these operations are a necessary means of resistance in the face of continued Israeli aggression. Marwan Saw's unwavering commitment to the Palestinian cause has made him a priority target for Israel. Throughout his career, he has faced numerous assassination attempts by Israeli forces, despite which he has managed to survive and continue contributing to the resistance efforts. These assassination attempts demonstrate the concern that ISA instills in the Israeli defense. Despite the constant threats against his life, ISA has remained steadfast in his dedication to the resistance movement. One of his key strategies is the element of surprise. ISA has employed tactics that catch Israeli forces off guard, allowing the CASAM brigades to gain the upper hand, using unconventional methods and exploiting weaknesses in the Israeli defense system. ISA has been able to inflict significant damage on the occupation forces. Yahya Sinar. Yayasin's involvement with the war with Israel began to take shape during his university years. The organization, founded in 1987 as a splinter political group of the Muslim Brotherhood based in Gaza, attracted young Palestinians seeking to resist the Israeli occupation. Sinwar's close relationship with Yassin and his deep commitment to the Palestinian cause made him a natural fit for the ranks of Jamas. Growing up in a refugee camp, Sinwar witnessed the daily struggles and injustices faced by his people. The camp was overcrowded, with limited access to necessities such as clean water, healthcare, and education. Despite these difficult circumstances, Sinwar's family instilled in him a strong sense of resilience and determination. As a young man, Sinwar recognized the importance of education as a means to uplift himself and his community. He enrolled at the Islamic University of Gaza, founded in 1978 by two men who would later play a significant role in the formation of Jamas. It was at this university that Sinwar's path would cross with those of the organization's future leaders. It was also during his college years that Sinwar formed a close bond with one of Jamas' co-founders, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. According to Israeli reports, Sinwar once revealed that Yassin had granted him a fatwa, a ruling in Islamic law to kill anyone suspected of collaborating with the Israelis. This marked a turning point in Sinwar's life, as he adopted a more militant and uncompromising approach to the Palestinian struggle. Sinwar's involvement with Nunca did not go unnoticed by the Israeli authorities. In 1982, he was arrested for subversive activities, a move designed to suppress his growing influence within the organization. However, these arrests only served to strengthen Sinwar's resolve and commitment to the cause. While in prison, Sinwar met other key members of Nunca, including Salah Shejade, the former leader of its military wing, the Qassam Brigades. It was during his time behind bars that Sinwar's leadership skills and strategic thinking began to emerge. He was placed in charge of Hamas' internal security branch, the Maj Force, which sought out and eliminated suspected Israeli spies. After being arrested and imprisoned again in 1985, Sinwar's reputation as a formidable leader within Hamas continued to grow. He became known for his ruthlessness in dealing with collaborators and traitors, both Israelis and Palestinians. Sinwar's methods were brutal and barbaric, striking fear into the hearts of those who dared cross his path. In 1988, Sinwar played a key role in the kidnapping and murder of two IDF soldiers. An act that would eventually lead to his being sentenced to 22 years in an Israeli prison. Despite his imprisonment, Sinwar made the most of his time behind bars. He learned to speak Hebrew fluently, which allowed him to better understand his enemy and devise effective strategies to counter their actions. Sinwar's release in 2011, as part of a prisoner swap for Israeli soldier Gilad Shalko, marked a major turning point in his life. He returned to Gaza with a renewed sense of purpose and determination. Sinwar's influence continued to grow and he rose rapidly through the ranks of the organization. Back in Gaza, Sinwar focused on increasing his influence and consolidating his power within the highest ranks of Hamas. After years of dedication and strategic planning, Sinwar assumed the role of Hamas leader in 2017, succeeding Ismail Haniyeh. This marked a major turning point for both Sinwar and the organization he now led. Initially, Sinwar claimed to follow a path of peaceful and popular resistance, but as Sinwar settled into his role as Hamas leader, it became clear that his true intentions were far from peaceful. He abandoned his initial pursuit of peaceful resistance and adopted a more militant and confrontational stance. Sinwar's leadership style was characterized by an unwavering commitment to armed resistance against the Israeli occupation. Under Sinwar's command, the use of force never escalated, escalating protests and rocket fire across the Israeli border. The group's military wing, the CASAM Brigades, became more active and aggressive, launching attacks on Israeli targets. Sinwar's military training and strategic thinking made him a formidable leader, capable of uniting both the armed and political wings. Sinwar's decision to abandon peaceful resistance was met with mixed reactions. Some saw it as a necessary response to the Israeli occupation and the lack of progress in diplomatic negotiations. They believed that armed resistance was the only way to achieve justice and liberation for the Palestinian people. However, others criticized Sinwar's turn to militancy, considering it a betrayal of the original principles of Never. They argued that peaceful resistance and engagement with the international community were essential to winning support and achieving a lasting solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Despite the controversy surrounding his leadership style, Sinwar's commitment to armed resistance resonated with many Palestinians who had become disillusioned by the lack of progress in diplomatic efforts. His unwavering determination to confront the Israeli occupation and protect the rights of his people earned him the respect and admiration of some segments of Palestinian society. Sinwar's leadership also directly confronted him with the Israeli government. He became one of Israel's most wanted men, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claimed to have him surrounded and isolated. Israeli authorities considered Sinwar a threat to their national security and made numerous attempts to capture or eliminate him. In the face of these threats, Sinwar remained defiant, rejecting any reconciliation with Israel and calling on militants to capture more Israeli soldiers. Sinwar's uncompromising stance and ability to survive assassination attempts only increased his mythical status among Palestinians. In the midst of the conflict between Israel and Hamas in 2023, Sinwar proposed a prisoner swap for the release of all Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli confinement. This proposal demonstrated his strategic thinking and willingness to use any means necessary to achieve his goals. While the proposal was met with mixed reactions, it underscored Sinwar's ability to navigate the complex dynamics of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Born Hal Messel in the West Bank in 1956, Messel's journey to becoming a prominent figure in Hamas began in 1987 when he assumed the leadership of the organization's Kuwaiti branch shortly after its founding. His dedication and strategic thinking quickly propelled him to become a founding member and chairman of Hamas political party. Under Messel's leadership, Hamas grew in strength and influence, gaining international recognition as a formidable force in Palestinian politics. The organization's commitment to resisting the Israeli occupation resonated with many Palestinians, who saw in him a beacon of hope in their struggle for liberation. Mashal's role as Hamas founder cemented his position as a key figure in the Palestinian struggle, and his leadership would shape the organization's course and the broader political landscape of the Middle East. However, Mashal's journey was not without its perils and near-death experiences. In 1997, acting on direct instructions from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Mossad intelligence agency attempted to assassinate Messel while he was living in Jordan. This grisly event shocked the international community and underscored the lengths to which Israel would go to eliminate its enemies. Mossad agents entered Jordan on forged Canadian passports and carried out a meticulously planned operation to eliminate Messel. They approached him on the streets of Amman and injected him with a toxic substance to ensure his death. However, their plan did not go as well as they had hoped. The vigilant and determined Jordanian authorities uncovered the assassination attempt and quickly arrested two Mossad members involved in the operation. The late King Hussein of Jordan, realizing the gravity of the situation, intervened and demanded the antidote for the toxic substance that had been injected into Messel. Faced with immense pressure from then US President Bill Clinton, Anatania did nothing but provide the antidote, thereby saving Messel's life. This shocking turn of events not only highlighted the audacity of the Mossad's actions but also Messel's resilience and the lengths he was prepared to go to fight for the Palestinian cause. The failed attempt on Messel's life further cemented his commitment to the Palestinian cause. However, after stepping down as president of OMMUS in 2017, Gillette Messel took on a new role within the organization. Became the head of AMIS's overseas political office, using his experience and influence to continue advocating for the Palestinian cause internationally. Meshal's transition to this new role allowed him to focus on building alliances and garnering support for the Palestinian struggle beyond Palestine's borders. His diplomatic skills and strategic thinking came into play as he reached out to various world leaders, organizations, and activists to drum up support for the Palestinian cause. During this time, Messel organized protests in front of Israeli embassies around the world, urging the international community to take notice of the injustices faced by the Palestinian people. His ability to mobilize people and draw attention to the plight of the Palestinians demonstrated his leadership skills and unwavering commitment to the cause. Additionally, Messel made courageous statements on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Meshal stated that he was holding several Israeli soldiers hostage, which he believed was enough to negotiate the release of all Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. Meshal stated that these captives included high-ranking officers from the Gaza Division, further highlighting the extent of Meshal's influence and operations. In recent years, Khaled Meshal has continued to be an active voice in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, advocating for the rights and liberation of the Palestinian people. His unwavering commitment to the cause has led him to participate in various activities and to express his views on the ongoing conflict. One notable development was Meshal's call for protests outside Israeli embassies around the world following Israel's attack on a hospital in Gaza that left hundreds of Palestinians dead. Meshal's call to action aimed to draw attention to the devastating impact of Israeli aggression on innocent civilians and demand justice for the Palestinian people. Meshal has also made courageous statements on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He firmly believes that peace with Israel can only be achieved through the return of Palestinian refugees and the withdrawal of Israeli forces from the occupied territories. Meshal's stance reflects the deep-rooted aspirations of the Palestinian people for self-determination and assertion of their rights. Furthermore, Meshal has stated that he has never held several Israeli soldiers hostage, which he considers sufficient to negotiate the release of all Palestinian prisoners held in Israel. This statement underscores the complex dynamics and power plays involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, in which the fate of prisoners becomes a bargaining chip for both sides. Meshal's recent activities and views on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict demonstrate his continued dedication to the cause and his belief in the necessity of resistance against the Israeli occupation. While his actions and statements may draw criticism from some quarters, they also resonate with those who support the Palestinian liberation struggle. As we uncover more about the life of Khaled Meshal and delve deeper into the scandalous events surrounding her leadership, we gain a deeper understanding of the complexities and challenges faced by those involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Thanks for watching. Click on the videos on your screen to watch similar content.